Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the JMO Podcast. I'm your host, Taylor Michaels, and our guest this episode, we have Jason Mitchell back on the show, and we're talking fall walleyes on Devil's Lake. We probably touch on this topic with Jason just about every year, but again, every year, every season, things change, the conversations change, and just like always, it's a ton of information and a ton of great recommendations in this episode. So let's get to it. Devil's Lake Fall Walleyes with Jason Mitchell. Check out the Flopbox bait coolers from Flop Industries. The Flopbox 10 and Flopbox 20 are heavy-duty roto-molded bait coolers, fully insulated, which comes into play both summer and winter. The aeration system for minnows and other live bait is fully enclosed and lithium-powered for reliability and durability. The stainless hardware, the removable chill plate, the list goes on of features, but these high-end bait coolers can easily enhance your fishing experience when you consider their ability to keep your bait alive, fresh, and ready to go when you need it. Check out the Flopbox bait coolers and more at flopindustries.com. That link is in the description of this podcast. Zooloft Construction from Fargo, North Dakota is your trusted partner when it comes to protecting and enhancing your property, servicing the surrounding area with over 40 years of combined experience. They've built a reputation for delivering exceptional roofing, siding, gutter, and window solutions. With a team of skilled professionals using quality brands and products, that's how they ensure lasting results. To sum it up, Zooloft Construction is committed to exceeding customer expectations. If you want an appointment for a free estimate, check out Zooloft Construction at their website, zooloftconstruction.com, or call them at 701-630-0197. All those contacts are in the description of this podcast. Devil's Lake is one of North Dakota's premier outdoor recreational destinations, and to find out more about what the lake and the community of Devil's Lake has to offer, head to devilslakend.com. That link is in the description. For anybody that likes to enjoy the outdoor opportunities here in the state of North Dakota, I would recommend the North Dakota Outdoors Podcast, put together by the North Dakota Game and Fish Department. This podcast playlist features a variety of entertaining topics, but for anglers specifically, you're going to find episodes that feature biologists and other fisheries department employees that are going to highlight and detail the great fishing opportunities across the state. They also tackle all the hot seasonal topics and feature data and research. So if you're looking for another great source of information about the outdoor opportunities here in the state of North Dakota, check out the North Dakota Outdoor Podcast put together by the North Dakota Game and Fish Department. A link to check it out is in the description. I want to have another fall Devil's Lake conversation with you, Jason, because I think there'll be a little fun new flavor to some of this. I got some questions for you for sure. But that being said, you know, right now, maybe we should just get a little bit of a status update on Devil's Lake, like right now, you know, kind of how the fishing has been out there recently, just some of the, maybe some of your, you know, takeaways from, you know, the last couple weeks that you've been able to be out. What's the lake kind of shaping up as, and what is kind of your forecast for the fall? Just kind of give us a little bit of a sort of a status update on Devil's Lake right now.
Yeah, it's pretty similar to past years. I mean, it's, you know, right now it's early September, which, you know, sometimes this time of year can be a little tricky. I mean, I wouldn't say that the fishing is always easy or good in September, but it usually gets a lot better as you get later into the fall. You know, once you get these water temperatures consistently cooling, you know, where every night you get a little colder and, you know, you get the water temperature, below 65 degrees when a lot of these pattern, you know, the traditional fall patterns really start to fire up. And before that, you know, it can actually be kind of tough in the sense that it's like there's fish shallow, there's fish deep, and the fish can get really scattered. And sometimes it feels like the pattern is that there is no pattern. You catch one fish here, you catch one fish there, and you hope you make your moves right where they add up. And so sometimes early in the fall can actually be pretty tricky or tougher, but then the flip side of that is you get a little later in the fall and it's some of the easiest, most consistent, best fishing of the year. And so that's kind of what we have in front of us right now. Right now we're seeing that you can catch fish shallow, you can catch fish deep, catch fish in between. And a lot of times, you know, if you're using something to cover water, whether it's forward facing sonar or whether you're trolling crankbaits or maybe a bottom bouncer, is, you know, sometimes the easiest way to do it is You're not going to catch a bunch of fish off of one single waypoint. You'll catch fish in an area, and what you have to do is look at, you know, fish per hour. Am I getting a fish an hour? Am I getting a bite an hour as far as, you know, nicer fish? Am I getting, you know, are the fish adding up? And that's kind of how you have to look at it, is you're not going to necessarily find the fish piled into one spot doing one thing early in the fall. Later on in the fall, you will, you know. And the thing about this is school's back. All the kids are back in school, and you know, there's just fewer and fewer people out there. Now that the hunting seasons are starting to open, you don't see that many people out there. And so the biggest thing I always tell people about fall fishing, especially on Devil's Lake, is don't overthink it. A lot of times your community spots can be some of your best spots. They really can be. You know, you look at a place like the Golden Highway, you know, how many boats go up and down that all summer? You know, it's no secret, right? Every tourist that ever comes to Devil's Lake knows about the Golden Highway. But tell you what, end of October, the Golden Highway can be dynamite, and everybody knows it, but there's nobody out there but you on a lot of days. So
that's kind of like the first path I want to go down with you, is like, you know, if we were to break down locations and techniques and then just theory and perspective of like, what's the best way to, you know, just to put your hands on the most nice fish. Like you think about Devil's Lake is just, it's notorious for lots of things, you know, and especially, you know, the big fish craze more recently with, you know, some of the tournaments have really kind of blown up and really showcased the top end potential. I want to talk about that maybe a little later. I want to talk about, you know, Devil's Lake being a notorious place to go. And if you're doing the right things, you can catch a lot of fish. There's a lot of nice eaters. It's just good for that. What would you say, maybe like starting with locations and then getting into techniques, how do we get our hands on the most fish this time of year?
Well, as far as catching the most fish, it's pretty tough to beat the bridges in the fall. You know, whether it's the Mauve Coulee Bridge and 6 Mile Bridge or the Highway 20, Highway 57 Bridge, the Woods Rutten Road, as far as just catching numbers of fish and, you know, just easy fishing that, you know, say if you've never fished Devil's Lake before, never seen it in your life, you want to just go out there, maybe without the most sophisticated equipment, you could definitely do that. And most days in the fall, you know, catch some fish. And sometimes you can catch big fish doing that, but it's definitely a deal where you can catch numbers of fish a lot of times. That would be, you know, that'd be low fruit for somebody that's never been to Devil's Lake. Just a jig and a minnow over the side of the boat, right out front of the bridge, kind of where that deep water starts is usually where I like to start, and then you can move in and out from there. But there's current coming underneath the bridges, and those walleyes really seem to focus on that in the fall. You know, other good locations, any type of a submerged roadbed, whether it's the Golden Highway like we previously discussed or any of the other roads that are flooded on Devil's Lake. If you have a roadbed where there's a nice sharp ditch with rock on it, that is the key in the fall. And those spots typically produce a lot of fish where you know, a lot of times I'm pulling crankbaits on those spots, but not always. You can do other presentations as well. Sometimes along the old shoreline in that 19 to 24 foot range, you know, if you find a lip, a little bit of a contour line when the lake was low, you had some erosion, there's some rock and gravel, hard bottom. If you find rock along that old shoreline in that 19 to 24 foot depth, those can be good fall spots. And also any of the classic rock structure near deep or in deep water. You know, you look at areas like Cactus Point, Fort Totten Point, Bird Island, Lost Jig, you know, all those spots are out on the main lake, but there's other spots in East Devil's Lake and East Bay that are similar. Big rocks in deep water or next to deep water, those spots a lot of times produce some of the very biggest fish for us in the fall. And so there's a lot of things you can do.
A little bit more of a breakdown on like that bridge fishing. I mean, sometimes it's as simple as maybe pull up and you know, you can drop down and land on some fish. But when it comes to, you know, maybe the current, maybe talk a little bit more about that element to all of this. Is it, you know, wind current, just lake current? You know, which side of the bridge do you like to look at if you're kind of observing the waves hitting it a certain kind of way? Maybe a little bit more of a breakdown on that bridge fishing.
Yeah, and I've fished the bridges a lot over the course of my life. I don't fish them a lot, if that makes any sense. I've done it, but I don't do it a lot. Reason being is that it's such a, they're such community spots. Like if you're a fishing guide on Devil's Lake and you take somebody to the 57 Bridge or the Woods Rutten Bridge, your people that are paying you money to fish with you are looking, it's like, oh, this is where I fished last week with my Uncle Larry. You know, it's not a, you know, they're such community spots, but that's not to dismiss them. It's just, I don't fish them much because, you know, people aren't paying me to learn the 57 bridge. Yeah. You know, when I was a guide, right? I mean, that's not what people sign up for. People aren't going to hire a guide to fish the 57 bridge. Okay. But with that being said, you know, it's a great place to recommend for somebody that's never been on the lake before, as far as just going out and catching fish. I mean, you can't dismiss that. And in the fall, you know, I mean, I can remember times where, you know, I fished, you know, Highway 20 bridge a lot, for example, and goodness, it was really good or good enough, you know, where say if I was, you know, tough fishing, whatever, I'd slide in there and get bit, or, you know, the Pelican Bridge up on Highway 19 can be really sneaky good in the fall, you know, for just nice quality fish, you know. So, with that being said, every lake, every bridge kind of has its own personality. You think it's for the direction of the current. So Devil's Lake flows from west to east. And so, like, for example, the current coming underneath Pelican on Highway 19 is generally going north to south, but wind can change that. You know, and that's the other thing is you've got current, but a lot of it's wind driven, in the sense to say the wind rips out of the south for 3 or 4 days in a row and it's blowing 30 miles an hour. It's pushing a lot of water up underneath that bridge. When the wind stops, all that water comes back underneath the bridge the opposite direction. And so that's the water sloshes back and forth. But generally, like the 57 bridge, Highway 20 bridge, you know, that water is going west to east. Woods Rutten Bridge, west to east. Now, it's funny because, like, on the 57 bridge, I've always done better overall on the west side. On the Highway 20 bridge, I've always done better overall on the south side, although sometimes I do catch them on the north side. 6 Mile bridge, I catch them on both sides. I would say probably about equally. The Highway 19 bridge up at Pelican, generally both sides, but I think the last 4 or 5 years, for whatever reason, they seem to catch more on the north side, you know. And as far as the current, it just depends. I mean, I like to get out deeper, kind of where that deep water starts. It just seems like there's a hole where the fish lay in. Sometimes their majors and minors can fire up bridges more so. Wind can definitely fire up the bridges. If you can't feel or see any current coming underneath those bridges, it's probably not going to be very good. So you want some current out in front of those bridges, and typically there's going to be a lot of activity. Like when you slide up shallower, closer to the bridge, usually you're going to mark all kinds of fish that are white bass. And that's usually a good sign. Walleyes are just a touch deeper and below them as a rule of thumb. And, yeah, I mean, you can use a jig and a minnow. I've guided people before where they couldn't set the hook on a jig and they were slow and day late and a dollar short. And I'd rig up a linear rig type setup with a short snell and a minnow and catch them that way. I've caught them on jigging wrap type baits, jigs and plastics, you know, whatever you want to do. The biggest thing is you're going to probably be anchored or spot locked, and just out of courtesy, if there's other people fishing around there, you know, you're not going to want to troll and do stuff like that. It's pretty much sit in one spot, fish below the boat.
Yeah, and that's good fishing. I mean, everything you just described, right? That's a lot of people's, you know, that'd be a great way to spend a vacation, you know, just fishing below the boat.
And yeah, and whenever you're in current, a boat length can be a mile. I mean, if you're not catching nothing, you'll give somebody in half an hour, see how many fish move through. If nothing, you know what, move 20 feet, move 30 feet, 10 feet, whatever, but just make small incremental moves until you get, it's almost like those fish have a path that they follow on that, in that current. And once you get on that path, you know, you're just going to keep having fish rolling through every hour or whatever. Well, then you can just sit in one spot. You know, once you get confidence and you just settle down and, you know, get in that zone. So.
Yeah. And this is something that you don't have to have a sophisticated setup, but even if you do, probably, you know, if you just get on spot lock and turn your electronics off and just start reading water and pitching around, I mean, that's about as fishy as you can get.
You can use an anchor. We used an anchor for years before we had spot lock. Usually the current isn't so strong that it's hard to anchor. You're in deeper water, but you can anchor. You can scoot around real slow and hover around with a trolling motor, okay? You know, as long as you're kind of straight up and down. But as far, you know, you can... You can leave your electronics on. You can leave them off. It don't seem to matter. I like to leave them on, just watch fish come through. A lot of times you'll see them come crawling along the bottom. Even if you're just using old school 2D sonar, you know, you'll see them right next to the bottom. But, yeah, it's just, and, you know, and people catch fish from shore too, you know. It's probably one of the better opportunities for shore fishing in the fall as well.
Yeah. Talk about that roadbed teal. Kind of the same thing. I'm just still kind of trying to break down Devil's Lake from like a most fish mentality of like, you know, the classic spots, the community spots really turn on just, you know, with the lack of pressure for, you know, in fall this time of year. It's just unbelievable how, you know, quality the fishing can be on the good days and, you know, and the, you know, the boat landings, no matter how much we promote the opportunity in this time of year, it just seems like the boat landings never fill up. So, you know, talking about like the roadbeds, those classic, you know, name spots on Devil's Lake, maybe a little bit of a breakdown in that regard. Same way. Go ahead.
The Golden Highway is probably the most, actually, you know, it's the longest road and that's flooded on Devil's Lake. It's the most prominent. I mean, it's a major piece of structure. I want to say it's 4 miles long of what used to be asphalt highway that's flooded with, you know, for the most part, 14 feet of water, you know, and there's a lot of places where those fish could be on that road, but that's a major piece of structure that really can fire up in the fall. In my mind, you know, trolling crankbaits is perfect because you can go up and down the road a little faster, figure out where the fish are, and it just seems like big profile crankbaits really, really work well in the fall. You know, they don't have to be super big, like say like a reef runner or like a, you know, but like say like a 24 long bomber or, I guess we use jointed shad wraps a lot on lead core. The rumble sticks are a phenomenal fall bait. I've been having a lot of luck with you the last couple of years. That's been one of my go-tos. But just a bigger, like a size 11 flicker minnow, you know, a lot of times, you know, I'll go a touch bigger in the fall and, deep diving baits right behind the boat. Sometimes the fish are on top. Sometimes the fish are in the ditches. Sometimes the fish are next to the road over the mud. You know, so you can figure that out as you fish. You'll kind of see the patterns ebb and flow on that. Sometimes there's fish doing all the above, realistically, a lot of days. The ditches can be a little trickier. I mean, if you have many people fishing the road, it can be really hard to stay right in one spot in the ditch. You know, because if you go up the ditch, you're going to get snagged. So it's really, really precise. But a lot of times that's how we catch some of our bigger fish. I would say day in and day out, we catch our bigger fish on the ditch, right at the bottom of the ditch, right in the gnarly rocks, especially like where the old culverts are, you know, out through that area, out, you know, from Winchester Island to Graham's Island. That south ditch in particular is where we've caught a lot of big fish over the years. But sometimes you'll see those fish way up on the west end, way up by the town of Minnewaukan, you know, or that end of the road can be really good at times too. So you just have to fish it, you know. But, you know, and it's something that produces fish throughout the summer, but, it, you know, it just gets a lot of traffic, which is fine. I mean, there's nothing wrong with a spot that gets fished a lot. It's just that when a spot gets fished a lot, you know, you're obviously sharing fish with a lot of other people, and the bigger fish get pulled off there pretty quick. And so it becomes a deal where you just catch a lot of numbers of fish eaters. Like if somebody ever say, hey, where can I go on July 20th and just catch a bunch of, say, 15 to 17, 18 inch walleyes on Devil's Lake, that's easy, I want to take my kids out. I said, well, the Golden Highway would be an excellent spot to try, you know. And everybody knows it. Like anybody that's ever fished Devil's Lake knows that, right? This is no secret. But, you know, as crazy as it sounds, or maybe it's worth repeating, is that October 25th, everybody knows it too, but nobody's out there and nobody's been fishing it for, you know, what feels like several days at times. And, you know, the fish are say 22 to 28 inches, you know, and so it's a spot that can get really good in the fall.
Do you feel like the, you know, like roadbed fishing or just any of those like structural elements when you're fishing spots like that, that are like big, long structure, how does wind affect them in your mind?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, there's times where a lot of fish are on top of the road. There's times where they're in the ditch, you know. Sometimes you get a calm day, flat day with some sun. And, you know, like late in the fall when the water temperatures start to dip, it starts to feel like spring again where the mornings will be really, really slow. Like I remember going up and down that road in October. We're thinking, wow, these fish aren't here anymore. I got to get out of here. What am I going to do next? I'm like, my wheels are turning. Like, where's my next move going to be? And basically, all I had to do was buy time in the sense that 10 o'clock came, that sun got a little higher, that water temperature warmed up a half degree, and those fish started to go. Slowly, they started to go. And by afternoon, it was nuts, okay? And so sometimes, you know, your calm, flat, sunny days can see a little bit, kind of a tick in the bite where, you know, that water temperature will warm up a degree or two. And that's a big deal late in the fall. Sometimes, you know, the wind can push some current. I guess the biggest thing is you can think and talk all you want, but you got to go out there and react, right? You make a pass over the top of the boat. I don't care if it's windy. I don't care if it's not windy. I don't care what it is, right? And if that ain't happening, well, then okay, I'm going to slide out in the ditch and see what happens. Okay, hour and a half goes by. I've caught one fish. I know they're around here. Okay, I'm going to make another look over the top. Okay, I'm going to try off the mud this time. You keep trying different things until something works, right? And if you try to think too much or think you know too much, you know, you're full of it, right? I mean, you don't even know what you don't know, you know? And so try not to overthink it. You just kind of react to whatever the day is. And you can never predict, when the wind does this and the sun does that and this does this and this does that, the fish are going to be doing this. It's like, nah.
Yeah.
It doesn't work that way.
What are your favorite crankbait colors in the fall on Devil's Lake?
Well, it seems like I catch fish on whatever I have the fewest of.
Yeah. That's like the perfect answer. We should make a shirt that says that because it's so true, you right?
Know? I mean, you have one lure, one color in your tackle box. I'll try it. I only got one of them. Then ends up catching every fish, and you buy 20 of them. Then the next day, the deadly cycle repeats itself, you know.
Yeah, but I like that. I mean, people like hearing it, you know what I mean? Like, you know, everybody either wants to be validated with what they already have in their arsenal or what their confidence is, or if they're looking to, you know, maybe stock up. I mean, color, where do you feel like color can make any kind of a difference? Like, what are some of those fishing elements where you actually pay attention to color?
I pay attention to when I'm not catching nothing. You know, I mean, like red craw is a great color on Devil's Lake. Golden purple's good on Devil's Lake. Sometimes the chrome stuff can fire up. Anything with white on it can be good. Anything with chartreuse, a fire tiger can be good. Like, all that stuff catches fish, you know? And I'm not a real big color guy, but you know what? I'm not going to run all four colors or five, whatever lines I'm fishing. I'm going to mix it up and say one lure catches three fish. It's like, okay, I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed, but that lure is maybe a Wonder Bread. Okay. So I'm going to put another Wonder Bread on. Wow, that one's catching them too. You know, oh, there must be something to it because I've got a perch out and it hasn't caught nothing all day, you know, and some of it's the lure, some of it's the vibration. There's a lot of different things. Some of it's that you only get one part of the boat on the spot at a time, or maybe the outside rods or one side of the boat is just over less productive water because of how the contour is. There's all kinds of variables, but you know, you try different things until something works. But one thing I'll tell you though, is when you do find something that works, like say, I mean, I've seen it a lot where one thing is working and it's easy just to go full bore. Like, wow, this is catching all the fish. Sometimes I can get in your head in a bad way. You know, I always try to have at least one guinea pig out the back of the boat. Say it's just a purple rumble stick. Okay, that's just on fire. Don't go all three purple rumble sticks or all four purple rumble sticks. Maybe run two, maybe run three, but have one rod, at least one rod, or maybe have a flicker minnow that's gold, or maybe it's, something different, Wonder Bread, whatever. And as a rule of thumb, too, like on gray, cloudy, overcast days, I like to use more painted colors. And on sunny days, I like to lean more on like holographic, chrome, silver, gold, some of that kind of stuff. As a rule of thumb, but yeah, it's we probably think about it way more than the fish. If you're in the right place at the right time, you can use the wrong color. That's what I always say.
Check out the Flopbox bait coolers from Flop Industries. The Flopbox 10 and Flopbox 20 are heavy-duty roto-molded bait coolers, fully insulated, which comes into play both summer and winter. The aeration system for minnows and other live bait is fully enclosed and lithium-powered for reliability and durability. The stainless hardware, the removable chill plate, the list goes on of features, but these high-end bait coolers can easily enhance your fishing experience when you consider their ability to keep your bait alive, fresh, and ready to go when you need it. Check out the Flopbox bait coolers and more at flopindustries.com. That link is in the description of this podcast. Zooloft Construction from Fargo, North Dakota is your trusted partner when it comes to protecting and enhancing your property, servicing the surrounding area with over 40 years of combined experience. They've built a reputation for delivering exceptional roofing, siding, gutter, and window solutions. with a team of skilled professionals using quality brands and products. That's how they ensure lasting results. To sum it up, Zuloff Construction is committed to exceeding customer expectations. If you want an appointment for a free estimate, check out Zuloff Construction at their website, zuloffconstruction.com, or call them at 701-630-0197. All those contacts are in the description of this podcast. Devil's Lake is one of North Dakota's premier outdoor recreational destinations. And to find out more about what the lake and the community of Devil's Lake has to offer, head to devilslakend.com. That link is in the description. For anybody that likes to enjoy the outdoor opportunities here in the state of North Dakota, I would recommend the North Dakota Outdoors Podcast, put together by the North Dakota Game and Fish Department. This podcast playlist features a variety of entertaining topics, but for anglers specifically, you're going to find episodes that feature biologists and other fisheries department employees that are going to highlight and detail the great fishing opportunities across the state. They also tackle all the hot seasonal topics and feature data and research. So if you're looking for another great source of information about the outdoor opportunities here in the state of North Dakota, check out the North Dakota Outdoors Podcast put together by the North Dakota Game and Fish Department. A link to check it out is in the description. If somebody wants to, say, up their average, what are some, you know, maybe location elements? I'm thinking, like, if we kind of listed it off, like top three or top four considerations that you would make on just a location, from a location standpoint, if you're looking for above average fish on Devil's Lake?
Well, I've caught big fish doing a lot of different things. I wish it was that simple. I like the weeds rock mix. If you can find green weeds in the fall, good green weeds, they are fish magnets. And I think I've heard other people say this too. I mean, I can't prove it like with a temperature gauge or a thermometer, but you know, a lot of people think that weeds will hold heat in the fall when the water starts to cool down. I think there's something to that. If you can find green weeds, and especially green weeds next to rock, that's a situation where I've caught a lot of big fish shallow. You know, big being, like, I don't catch a lot of fish over, say, 28 inches, 28 and a half inches in shallow weeds, but a lot of nice, like 25 to 28 inch fish. The biggest fish, like, that are over 28 and a half, it seems like those fish are usually around the basin. I mean, they're all usually deep rocks, basin. You know, for whatever reason, I don't catch a lot of like super big fish shallow, but I catch a lot of nice fish that most people would consider big, you know, that weed rock combo. As far as some of the biggest fish, you know, big round boulders, maybe there's a lay down, maybe some wood that's blown in over the years, in 22 to 38 feet of water. There's some spots that, are just big fish spots. There's a one spot over on the main lake where it was an old duck blind at one time, I think, from what I can see on side imaging and everything, where, you know, back in the day when the lake was, you know, 24 feet lower, 25, 30 feet lower than it is now, you know, people used to hunt a lot of bluegills on Devil's Lake, and they would pile rocks up along the shoreline to build a duck blind. And this almost, what this looks like is almost like a kind of a half donut, big oblong donut that's about 20 feet long at the most, with big rocks and a bunch of little rocks piled up around it, kind of in a oblong shape where it looks like somebody built the duck blind years ago. And some of the rocks are big, some of the rocks are small. I think over the years, I think we've caught three fish over 30 inches in that old duck blind. And it's, you know, no more than 20 feet long. And, you know, so there's spots like that. Like if you can find nice big round boulders with small rocks, medium rocks kind of mixed in, those are really, really good spots. Those type of spots do attract more attention in today's world, but there's a lot of them that aren't on the maps because they're just not big enough. Or if it's a field of rocks where it doesn't change in elevation or depth, those are some of your best spots just because they get left alone for long periods of time. And it's almost like there's everything about that spot big fish like. And so it's just a matter of time before a big fish moves in and lives there. And that fish will live there until somebody catches it, you know, or kills it or dies, right? And so so some of these spots, if they get left alone, that's the whole key is you hop in a spot like that. If nobody's fished it for a month or whatever, then, you know, that's when the magic happens, you know. But if somebody fished it 2 days earlier, not nearly the same. So
on Devil's Lake, you get, you know, like any body, a big body of water, you'll have different year classes. But Devil's Lake being so big and spread out, do you feel like, you know, if somebody's just, you know, just specifically, like if they're just trying to up their average, like instead of averaging 15 to 19 inch fish, they want to average, you know, 20 to 23 inch fish. Do you feel like some of these spots, those fish are just mixed, or is it more common where, you know, some of those above average fish might be just mixed in and you got to cycle through more fish? Or do you feel like you can put patterns together in the fall on Devil's Lake where, you know, maybe you just switch areas of the lake, maybe you make a quarter mile move or whatever? You know, what, how would you set your expectation if you wanted to just have that more consistent average of just a little better fish that time of year?
You know, all the above. I mean, what I would tell you is, you know, if you're out here August 5th and all you caught was small fish and you had to catch 10 fish to keep one that you felt comfortable flaying that was a 15 to 17 incher, and you're going through all kinds of 12, 13 inch fish, whatever, the fall fixes some of that. It's like, for whatever reason, the fish is average a nicer size. Maybe some of those fish have grown up. I don't know. But it just seems like it's just easier to catch nicer fish. They're more abundant. It's kind of like in the springtime, you know. Springtime, it seems like it's easier to catch nicer fish. I don't know all the reasons why. I just know that it happens every year, you know. People can talk about fish eating before the winter time and stocking up on their fat reserves and this and that, whatever, you know. All that matters is that it happens, you know. We can speculate on the why. Obviously, we know that they're eating stuff that they have to eat in order to catch them. It does feel like sometimes bigger profiles can work better in the fall, which is kind of a belief that forage grows up, gets bigger. Fish are used to eating bigger baits, bigger forage, and so they're used to that profile, that length of bait. You know, and obviously exerting the less amount of energy possible to eat. But the reality is that there's probably a lot more of that throughout the year, but we're just not willing to realize it. You know, I've read studies where, like, the preferred profile or bait length is like a third to, 30 to 25% of a fish's length.
Yeah.
So think about that. You know, if you're a 25-inch walleye, you like eating things that are 7 inches long, 8 inches long, if you can. Like, that's it makes a hell of a lot more sense than 2,000 shrimp, right? <Yeah. laughs> You know? And so the reality is that, you know, that's probably something that's, you know, probably something that we have to consider way more than we do, not just in the fall, but definitely in the fall it becomes more pronounced.
Technique related, you know, same thing. You know, maybe a list of 1, 2, or 3 maybe technique, or, you know, just maybe some lure hacks, or just some thoughts, perspective, just some, you know, just some recommendations with lures and setup technique kind of conversation on, again, just upping your average to where you just don't necessarily want to fill your boat with those 15 inch fish like you did in the summertime. You know, you already touched on maybe bait size or lure, you know, lure size if you're cranking, things like that. But, you know, maybe it's a cadence related thing, or you know, or just you know, something, anything like that. Any little list of tips or tricks that you would try?
One thing I have done a lot in the fall, especially like fishing the bridges and stuff where you're vertically jigging over the side, you know, you get later on in the fall and it does feel like live bait can give you an edge when you're fishing really still or slow. You know, sometimes I'll double hook 2 fathead minnows. Sometimes it gets hard to find good minnows. You know, like, there's nobody selling bait anymore. There's nobody trapping bait. Like, you have what's left at the gas station. And once that runs out, you're done. Half of them are sticklebacks. You know your bait sucks, but that's all you got. Like, it is what it is, right? Yeah. It's like, that or you drive 100 miles to try to find bait somewhere, you know? And so sometimes I'll just put a soft plastic on and then put a minnow over the top, or I'll put 2 minnows on just to add some bulk and profile. Sometimes you can get them pretty good jigging with soft plastics, you know, straight up and down below the boat in the fall, especially, you know, with a heavier, bigger jig, upsize your jig, get a little bit more aggressive with it. Jigging ramps, pitching puppets, your glide baits can work tremendous in the fall, you know, not just, you know, on bridges, but in the deep structure, I use that stuff a lot, especially with forward-facing sonar. You don't want to be around snags with that type of presentation. But if you can find fish that are up a little bit higher up off the bottom and just maybe make bottom contact once or twice, you know, to catch fish, that can be work. That can be really effective. If you still have leeches in the fall, they're deadly. I mean, I try to keep some leeches every fall, and you know, leech on a slip bobber is deadly, or a leech and a half crawler, or sorry, a jig and a half crawler on a slip bobber can work really well, especially around the weeds and rock that we were talking about, or you get the sand, timber locations. Crankbaits, obviously, are pulling a lot of snap weights, pulling a lot of lead core. Sometimes we will long line baits if they can get down deep enough without letting out too much line. You know, you can catch fish on bottom. You can really catch fish however you want to. The only thing that I haven't had the best luck on in the fall are big creek chubs on Devil's Lake. And I've tried it and tried it and tried it, and I've caught nice walleyes on it, don't get me wrong. But it just seems like a lot of places where I'm catching bigger walleyes right now, like say in the last 5 years, at least in the fall, you get around those deep rocks especially, there are so many white bass, like unbelievable numbers of white bass and big white bass. And you're going to catch white bass whether you want to or not. And you put a creek chub down, and I'm not kidding you, they tear the guts out of that creek chub like a coyote killing a deer.
Yeah.
Like they just keep nipping at it, pecking and until finally they get it. And you can use a 10-11, you can use a 10-inch creek chub. You can use the biggest creek chub you can find, and those white bass are just keep pecking and pounding, and they finally kill it. Like you just can't keep them in the water. And you know, but if you can find a big jumbo leech, for whatever reason, they leave those alone a lot more. So like for a second rod over that deep water, one of the things I like to do, or kind of figured out the hard way after beating my head against the wall thinking the creek chub was got to be the answer, is just using a biggest jumbo leech I can find, and don't catch nearly as many white bass on it.
Yeah, why is a leech so effective? It seems like Devil's Lake isn't the only place, but it feels like Devil's Lake, I mean, you know, a leech, if you can get a leech in the water during the open water season, I mean, there's just so many scenarios where that works out, but it's so counterintuitive to every other aspect of the conversation where it's fall and we like to bulk up our profiles and we like to do this, we like to do that. And then it's like, gosh, you can always just fall back on a jumbo leech. Like, what's your thought process on that?
I don't know if I really have one. I just know it works, you know. I wish I had a big, fat, black jumbo leech, but then you look and think, oh, my God, the biggest leech you have is the size of your thumb. And it's a leech that would have been considered a small leech in middle of May, and that's all you got. You know what I mean? It's like sometimes leeches are pretty pathetic and sorry this time of year if you can find them or if you've kept them, you know, because obviously you use the nice ones first. You have to really discipline yourself to try to save them late into the year. But, yeah, I mean, they just work. I mean, it's just tantalizing. It's got a seductive action, and they do catch fish.
Yeah. It's just always something a guy can fall back on.
I mean, it's hard keeping them alive. I mean, that's an art in itself, keeping leeches alive until, say, November 1st. I mean, that's a job.
If somebody's coming in for a fall fishing trip on Devil's Lake, what should a realistic expectation be as far as, you know, just success? Like, how do you gauge success out there as far as maybe numbers and quality? Like, what would your breakdown be for just a, you know, just a good average day of fishing in the fall for those types of things, just setting somebody's expectations? Like, I'm sure you had these conversations a lot when you were guiding and people were calling wondering how many fish are we going to catch, how nice are they going to be. Like, how do you manage that, you know, these days on Devil's Lake, how it's fishing?
You know, I mean, that can vary so much from person to person. I mean, I remember when my kids were really, really little, you know, and I tried to take them out after school. They didn't know nothing about fishing half the time. You know, you're watching to see if they're on the bottom. You can tell they're getting a bite. They're not setting the hook right. They're not reeling the fish in right. And just catching a fish was a win. You know, nobody got wet. Nobody got cold. We only had an hour and a half. I didn't really want to go where I knew the fish were biting. I didn't have enough time to do that. So I just dumped in at the casino and ran to the 57 bridge, and thank God we caught one.
Yeah.
And it was a great day. It was a mission accomplished, right? When I was guiding, I mean, people call me and say, hey, how many fish can I expect to catch? How big are they going to be? Blah, blah, blah. I just tell them I'm booked. I don't have time for people like that, right? They're going to be a pain in the butt. Like the worst people you ever guide in your life are the people that say, hey, you know, so after I get my limit of walleyes, can I get my limit of perch too? Can I expect all my walleyes to be over 20 inches? I mean, it's like, I don't have time for these people, right? And so I try not to even mess with that, okay? And if you've done any guiding at all and people do arrive, they say, how's the fishing? I say, God, it's been really tough. You know, we had a west wind for 3 days in a row, swung around to the east, you know, those spots kind of dried up and, you know, just kind of, it's like the Marine Corps Army basic training. You beat them down, then you build your man up. Okay. And so you talk about how tough the fishing's been and you talk about how it's, you know, things are changing really fast. And then when you take them to a spot in the morning, they catch a fish in the first cast. You're like, whoa, man, you're a really good guide. Right. If you talk about how great the fishing is, they just think the Great Lake's great and that you suck and they could do it on their own, you know? So, so that's what I tell you about that. Expectations. Yeah. I'll beat your expectations down. You're so happy when you finally catch a fish.
Yeah, just don't have any expectations.
Nah, you know, it's hard to say. It's so hard to say. You know, I've had great fishing and terrible fishing any day of the year. I mean, it is what it is. I mean, what are the expectations? You know what my expectation is? Is that, you know, you never know when your last day of fishing or your last day on a boat is going to be, right? And so when you put that boat away in the fall, you know, that might be your final hurrah ever in life. You never know. You don't know what the Lord has planned for you, okay? And so every day you get out is a blessing. And in the fall, it just seems like it's that much deeper, that much richer, because you know it's going to be a while before you can do this again, right? The days are getting shorter. It's getting colder. I feel like you just appreciate everything more, you know? Just catching a fish when you're still wearing a sweatshirt, just a beautiful day, like one of the nice fall days, hardly any wind. You're wearing a sweatshirt, maybe some bibs, and but it's comfortable. You're not freezing, and you can feel the warmth of the sun on your face, and you're catching some nice fish. You're with a good friend. You know, that's what life's all about. You know, some days, you know what I mean? I've had great days where I was only catching 15, 16-inch fish. But I was catching them the way I wanted to, right? I was catching them pitching a jig, and I was just having a ball doing it. Mm-hmm. And there's other days where, you know, I caught three fish, but one was a 28, a 26, and a 23, and caught them on a new spot, a new part of the lake I hadn't fished in a long time. Pulling cranks at 30 feet where normally I start out in 23, and I think, oh, that's kind of cool. That's something different. You know, every day is a blessing. That's all my expectation is, you know.
I like that. I like that last part where – you know, it's not about how many fish you're going to catch or necessarily how big they are all the time. It's like, it's that time of year on a body of water where, you know, sometimes if you can just have success doing it the way you like to do it, you know, that's a huge one to me. Like I would choose one body of water over another destination body of water if, you know, if I had to choose like how to catch them, you know, or how the best way to catch them. But the diversity of Devil's Lake, just, you know, the availability of spots, you know, there's a boat landing somewhere that you can get on if it's windy from one direction or whatever. You know, it's forgiving in so many ways. And for that, and to me, I just feel like talking about fall, promoting fall fishing on Devil's Lake is just timeless. Like I just love having this conversation with you every year just because of that fact that, you know, you're never beating a dead horse when the horse is alive. I mean, the Devil's Lake is such a cool place for that. And what you just said there really speaks to me a ton is like, if I really want to be that hunter, if I really want to, you know, dig in my heels and try to find bigger fish, you know, that's where that expectation conversation does kind of have to, you kind of have to have that mentality going in that, you know, don't get down when you're not catching a lot, because that's kind of the nature of that beast. But two, if you know, if the fishing is good, if it's a good average or above average day and the fish are biting, embrace the fact that, you know, do what you have confidence in, or maybe you're building confidence in something else that's new to you. It's such a good place for that. It can be a playground for that, and not necessarily focusing on the size all the time, but just realize that, you know, it's a type of place where, and the time of year where you can go, you can have spots to yourself, or you can just have good community spots that all summer long are booked up and have too many boats on them, and those spots recharge and they're not a far boat ride. And if you're going to catch however many fish you're going to catch, but you're going to do it the way you want to do it, there's a lot to be said for that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that, you know, yeah. Just expect to work hard and have a good time and let the fish catches be the icing on the cake. You can always say that, and it's always true.
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of the conversation I wanted to have with you. I wanted to kind of break this up and, you know, more of a status, having that status update early of what the conditions are like, what the year has been like, if it's a relatable year, or if there's something special about it, and then kind of moving into, you know, how does somebody go there and just kind of approach it generally speaking? How do you get your hands on the most fish? And talking about, again, like community spots that are just tough to get on every year, where you're sharing fish, fall's the time of year where you're sharing a lot less fish, and the spots are you know, easy to see and find on a map, and you don't have to worry about being in line with 30 other boats, you know, on the same spot. And if you did, there's another spot right down the stretch that's going to be have tremendous offerings. But then ending it, you know, here with just some thought process and some tips and tricks on maybe how to try to up your average. I think that's going to be interesting to some people too. So giving a little taste to everybody. That was my idea. I feel like we've gotten pretty specific in years past when we have this fall conversation. We try to pick one thing and kind of, you know, really dial it in and detail it. And I like that too. But, you know, this conversation, I kind of wanted to pick those lanes and yeah, man, it's always fun getting caught up like that. Anything else you feel like you would want to add with like a Devil's Lake fall conversation like this?
No, just get out and do it. I mean, a lot of people are mixing in some fishing with duck hunting, you know, waterfall hunting where they'll duck hunt in the morning, fish in the afternoon. The nicer days, obviously, they're nicest to be out there, but some of the coldest, windiest, gnarliest days, it seems like when the weather gets tougher, the fishing a lot of times gets better on a lot of spots. You'll definitely see that trolling bite kind of peak, and then it, you know, usually like around November or so, it's like when that water temperature gets below 40 degrees, you can see that trolling bite fall off where it's harder to catch fish trolling cranks. So you'll kind of see a window there where like last 2 weeks, October, probably about prime for that. Other than that, the fishing could be sometimes, it feels like a grind in the sense that, you know, you just pick away at fish through the day. You catch a fish an hour, you catch two an hour, you go an hour and you're thinking, oh, I better move, what am I going to do? And then you catch one and you stay a little longer. That's kind of how it feels. And then in the afternoon, a lot of times you just get a little bit of an uptick where, you know, you'll get, you know, maybe an hour, 45 minutes, or maybe you catch three or four, you know, and that's kind of a flurry in the fall, you know. But they add up over the course of the day. And so, I don't know, that's kind of how the fall feels to me. But it's a great time of the year, and the older I get, the more I appreciate it.
Well, you know, one question I didn't ask you, but, and this is kind of a personal question, but like, I'm always talking shallow versus deep with you. In the fall, you know, what would you say your balance is? Both personally, do you like to spend your time shallow versus deep, or like how much do you like to kind of contrast that? And the second part of that question would be, but what if you're recommending to somebody else? Like, how would you sort of recommend starting spots? Start deep in the fall and look for fish on those deeper spots. Do you feel like that's a better recommendation? Or do you like recommending some of this like shallower stuff?
It kind of depends on the spot. I mean, like you look at like the Golden Highway, that truly is a phenomenal fall spot. The top of it's in 14 feet, bottom of it's in 28 feet. You look at some rock piles off of Cactus Point, Fort Cotton, Lost Jig, you know, those spots might be 26 to 30 feet. So you're fishing spots, right? And it's not necessarily about the depth. You know, you look out in front of the Strummy Edition, that can be a good contour at times in the fall where, like, say, 19 to 23 seem to be where that old shoreline is. There's some rocks scattered along there. You look out in front of Camp Grafton, you know, along that old shoreline, that sweet spot seems to be 28 to 32 feet where the rocks are. So it just depends on the spot, right? I like to fish shallow, but, you know, and there's a lot of stuff that fires up in the shallow, like that, that West Shoreline of Graham's Island that whole shoreline, when the wind's pounding in on that, there's all kinds of rock along that shoreline, big boulders. I've caught a lot of fish shallow along that in the fall, just pitching cranks, you know. You know, you try something, that don't work, you try something else. You talk to people, right? Maybe you're at the boat ramp and the guy's like, yeah, I was out on Patience Point last night with my kids and I caught four that I kept that were 16 to 19 inches and they were in 17 to 22 feet of water, but I got a lot of snags, okay? You know, I mean, you know, you're gathering information however and wherever you can. You're gathering your own information from fishing, you're trying different things, you're listening to other people, you're talking to other people, you know, and you just try stuff, you know. And reality is that a lot of days people are catching fish shallow and deep. It's not like all the fish are doing one thing, you know. So a person's got to remember that too sometimes.
That's a serious thing to remember because as walleye anglers, we're all trying to put a pattern together. And if we catch three fish and, you know, 25 feet, you know, on our first pull down a stretch, we just feel like 99% of the fish got to be in 20, you know, be in that, on that contour the rest of the lake, right? And so, like, that stuff throughout the day, I got to remind myself sometimes when I'm fishing that, you know, am I spending enough time looking at some of these juicy spots that are inside of me? I'm just assuming that it's too shallow because I've caught three fish out here.
Yeah.
You know, I that takeaway alone for me sometimes. Yeah. It's like
that's something we all fall into that. I mean, I think we all can relate to that.
Yeah. Well, that's cool, man. I appreciate the conversation. We always cover a lot of ground with you. I love it. And Devil's Lake is never, like I said, it's never a dead topic. We can talk about it seasonally every year throughout the year. There's always going to be a little different flavor. You know, you're always dabbling in new things and doing different things. And, you know, so it always gives a little new flavor. But I know, you know, looking back on the podcast we've done on Devil's Lake in the fall, we'd never done one just quite like this, you know, trying to kind of contrast, you know, the different, you know, how to catch the most fish versus how to up your average and catch bigger fish. And I'd like some of those tips and tricks, and I just think it's good stuff. And yeah, as anglers, we're always overthinking things. That's one of my favorite things to do. And, but that being said, yeah, just reminding yourself of just some of that, just some of the, you know, when you overthink things, you just sort of inevitably forget the obvious things. And, you know, where, yeah, just be open-minded at each pass on any kind of structure and have fun with it. Be experimental to some extent. That's always fun, too. Even if you, even if it doesn't, you know, account for a ton of fish catches, if you catch a big one on a different color that you've never used before, sometimes it's just fun to do that and just catching fish the way you want to, whether it's exactly how every other boat is catching more fish than you or whatever. But if you're just doing it the way you want to, don't be out there comparing yourself to other people like that. You're not fishing a tournament. You know, that's not what this conversation's about. It's like just going out and having fun and really, you know, if anything we could do in this conversation is just get more people fired up to go fish in the fall, because it's just such a fun time of year. And no matter how much we talk about it, like I said, it's like it's so bizarre how you'll never find a boat landing that's too full. You know what I mean? It's like it's just so weird. But yeah, man, great conversations. Well, that's what I wanted to cover with you, man. So unless there's something else, you know, I'm always promoting the YouTube content, the social media, all the educational stuff that's out there. You know, we're always talking about it. So obviously anybody, you'll head over to the Jason Mitchell Outdoors stuff, but anything else you want to promote or sign off with?
Nope.
All right, man. Well, that's it.
All right.
We did it. Right on, man. Well, I'll let you back to it.